We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
After this, he, that's Jesus, went to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he made a scourge of small cords, he drew them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now, I read these verses from the second chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, yesterday we talked about Jesus Christ, whose glory was manifested in a wedding. He performed a miracle. He was the center of the scene. He was the hero of the drama that was played there. Now, this was a perfectly natural, easy form of occasion. It was a wedding. People were happy. Bride and groom were there. Parents were there. And it was a wonderful time. And the Lord was there. And the mother of the Lord was there. And his disciples were there. It was a very distinguished group. Just think about the men that wrote the New Testament. Nearly all of them, except, of course, Paul hadn't been converted. Peter was there. All the rest of them there, his crowd. And this miracle was performed. And how smoothly everything went. Now then, he's going up to the temple. And he gets up there at time of Passover. And he walks in there and doesn't find things right. Now, he didn't find anything wrong at the wedding. He didn't find any fault or anything there. He went along with them. He performed the miracle, supplied the wine they needed, the fruit of the vine, and everything went smoothly. But now he's in the temple. Now, that temple was his Father's house. His Father's house. It was built as the house of God. It was a temple where men were supposed to worship God. But what happened to it? It had been perverted. It had been perverted. They had changed it from the purpose for which it was built. What a tragedy. How pathetic. How awful. How horrible. Now, Jesus Christ showed anger. Now, righteous anger. Don't ever get the idea that Jesus Christ doesn't get angry. I read in the Bible about a day coming when the great day of his wrath is come. Now, God Almighty is a God of wrath. God the Almighty doesn't tolerate sin. He doesn't look at sin with the least degree of allowance. And judgment's going to be in the house of God. That's where it's going to start. So he comes there into this place and finds this scene commercialized. It ceases to be a house of prayer. It's a commercialized house. Now, when I read this over, I thought it'd get over again. Do you know about the weakest place in the average modern church is a prayer meeting? Now, you take your prayer meeting now. When I was a boy, you used to have big prayer meetings. You don't have many more. Prayer meeting, why? A great many churches don't have any at all. It's not a house of prayer. It's a place where they meet on Sunday morning and maybe discuss some topic, have some nice music, maybe somebody singing in the choir that isn't spiritual. Maybe an employed singer there. It's hard, just like you rent an instrument to play. Just hire somebody to sing. I know many churches like that. I know churches where they hire people to sing in the choir that don't know anything about spirituality at all. So you have your morning service, a little crowd in the afternoon, may have pretty good Sunday school. But when God's house ceases to be a house of prayer, then it ceases to be God's house. It's pervaded. This temple was not God's house. It was not God's house. Now, it belonged to God, but it wasn't there. It had been usurped by the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age. Let me tell you something. People tell you to keep up with the age. Keep up with the age. I dropped into a church one time down south where an old schoolmate of mine was pastor. I heard about him. He left the school after we got through there and went off and studied in a certain seminary at that time in more modernistic. And I dropped into the church there, my old friend. I'd heard he'd been a little off color. And he said, my friends, he said, you don't have to believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. And she said, personally, I'm rather inclined to believe in the virgin birth, but you don't have to believe in virgin birth. Well, I said to myself, then you don't have to believe the Bible. If you don't believe the virgin birth, you don't believe the Bible. Man who plays down the virgin birth is playing down Jesus Christ in the Bible. The prophet said he'd be born of a virgin. That would be a sign, not young woman, but a virgin. And all the details are given in the New Testament. Where anybody, in any sense, knows that the New Testament teaches that the mother of Jesus Christ was a virgin. All right. Now, that fellow was standing up there saying that we haven't any authoritative Bible. If you can't believe what it says about the virgin birth, or you don't believe what it says about the blood of Christ, and without shedding of blood, there's no remission. No wonder they don't believe a bloody gospel anymore. No wonder these modernists are protesting against a bloody gospel. They start in to dig at the Bible. You know, if you take a book, you know, and you pull out one leaf of the book, it usually loosens all the other leaves, and one by one they all begin to come out. That's the way of the Bible. Now, we have a spirit of age today where a fellow said, well, you know, he's a thinker. Well, your thinking doesn't have one thing to do with it. It's a matter of revelation. Now, you may have some Greek words and Hebrew words and that you can't understand without scholarship. But you don't have to worry about that. The King James translation, some of those words may be a little obsolete. Maybe you wouldn't use exactly the same word today, but it's very simple to find out what it was. Some words like you read in the Bible, like sometimes prevent, could be used sometimes precede. See, it was at one time prevent. Like we read there, those that living will prevent or precede them that are dead. See? Now, it doesn't matter. There's nothing in the world about that. That's all just a lot of hot-ass stuff. Nothing to it. And so we got a spirit of the age when we're deifying intellect and making people think they're scholars when they're not scholars. They're not, but they try to think they are. And they want to think they are, you know. It makes them feel smart and comfortable. The deifying of the mind, all that. And it's not a matter of thinking and searching. It's a matter of revelation. Jesus came to the world, and God said, this is my beloved Son. He was, and he wasn't. He said, come to me, all you ends of the earth, and be ye saved. It means he can save them, and he can save them. So we go along with the spirit of the age, and it gets in our church, you see. And oh, what a mess we get here. Prayer meeting dies. Prayer meeting dies. Big crowd at the club on Saturday night, maybe, drinking cocktails, having a good time. Then we build our schools in this country, put our money into our schools, you know. Sacrificial gifts to the saints of God. And we build our schools, and then, first thing you know, they let somebody come in there that's modernistic, little by little, and undermines the school, and undermines the faith of people. And yet we go right ahead and call it ours. Now, this temple there, the Jews said, this is the house of God. We're in the house of God. It wasn't. It had ceased to be the house of God. It was his by right, it was his property. But it has ceased to be his house. It has been taken over. And I want to tell you that up and down this country today, Jesus Christ is being crowded out of many places. He's been crowded out of school. He's been crowded out of universities. He's been crowded out of churches and plumb pulpits. When you crowd the blood of Jesus Christ out, you crowd Jesus Christ out. When you push the virgin birth out, you push Jesus Christ out because he's a virgin-born Son of God. When you push the resurrection of Christ out, you've pushed out the fundamental, essential fundamental of Christian faith. Jesus Christ was God incarnated. When you say there's something good in all these religions, and we get all these religions and scrambling together, you're shoving Jesus Christ around. He said, nobody comes to the Father but by me. Now, men and women, I haven't got it the best of many years in this world, and I know it. If I lived to be a very feeble old man, it wouldn't be many years. But I have a responsibility. I happen to be one man that knows what's going on. I know conditions in this country. I know the dangers we're facing. I have no selfish axe to grind. I'm not looking for anything except an opportunity to serve God. But I'm putting you on notice today. Listen, Jesus Christ is looking down on your church at Wednesday night when you have prayer meeting. And nobody's there to speak of. You're looking down today on the churches in this country where you've got modernisms creeping into your pulpit. Well, you support anything that comes along sometimes just to go along. Now, this temple was the same temple. It had the same sacrifices and all that. It had a form of godliness, but he said, it's no longer my house. And you can have churches with steeples and pipe organs that can cease to be God's house. If the gospel isn't preached, if the Christ born of a virgin who died a vicarious substitutional death on the cross is denied, if his resurrection is denied, and if salvation in any name except his name is made possible, that ceases to be God's house. The Lord God Almighty said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Hear ye him." Jesus said, "Come ye all ye ends of the earth and be ye saved." He said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." Now when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. I wondered that morning, I was in that pulpit, how what the Lord would say if he walked in there in person again when that preacher's up in the pulpit. If he walked down the aisle and said, "I'm the virgin-born Son of God. God was my Father. I was there with him on the morning of eternity. I made all things, and here I am there." I wonder if he wouldn't have felt like whipcord to drive that preacher out. I wonder if he wouldn't have felt like taking a whipcord and driving the officials out with supporting a preacher that would talk that way. I just wondered. Went through my mind. I thought about all of it. Wondered about it. That's what happened here. Indignation. Now, we fixed Bob Jones University out here under the bylaws and charter. So if it ever ceases to be God's school, it can be closed. The modernists is permitted to teach in here. Anybody that denies a creed that covers essential to the faith, that isn't faithful to it, he can't stay here. If he does stay here, the school has to be closed by law. The board of trustees on the law must close it. Sell the property. Use the money for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. I want to tell you, it's not as hard to start a place as it is to keep it right. And we're going to keep Bob Jones University right. We want Jesus Christ, when he comes around this place, to walk into the chapel, library, anywhere else around here. We want his name to be the first name, his place the first place. We want you to pray for us that God will keep us faithful, that we may carry out our responsibility without flinching. We need to put the emphasis back there. We've taken away and focused the attention somewhere else. Up and down our land, and the light's no longer focused on Jesus and the only Savior of the world. We're focusing on religions of all kinds with all the good we can say in them. And we're putting the light over Jesus Christ. And there's no hope for the world except in him. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and no other shoulders can carry it. Our Father, keep us faithful to Jesus. Keep Bob Jones University faithful. Keep all the faculty faithful, all the students. Testimony true in all these other centers around the world in these trying days. We pray in thy precious name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.